Hey, the microphone, come on, the first try. That is amazing and awesome. I tell you, well, when Pastor Scott picked it up, his microphone a while ago, and started talking and it worked, I was just really jealous. It's like, how did that happen? If you will, turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. We're going to get to that in a second. I have the privilege of sharing some things with you today. As the youth pastor here, I am blessed with the youth that are here. You heard the praise team this morning. What a beautiful job they did at taking us to the feet of Jesus. And thank you so much for that. Mike, thank you so much for your direction there and your love for the youth and encouraging them. And Chris Cooper helps as well. He's not able to be here today. But thank y'all so much for what you pour into these students. And we actually had some that was not even able to be here today in the praise team. So we are truly blessed with a talented group of people. But the other side of what I'm allowed to do here at Bear Creek is the mission side of things. And so what I get to do is kind of share a message about missions with you, but also kind of a report about what missions is, how Bear Creek is involved with missions. I'll get the words out here in a second. And so I'm just so excited. You know, I have pretty much been involved with missions in some shape, form, or fashion for pretty much most of my life. I have been blessed to go on 20 different mission trips. I sat down and counted up, and these are week-long mission trips. And it's just been a blessing, each and every one of them. I've learned so many things about so many different cultures. You know, I have been on 7 different boys' mission trips, and several of them here, of the boys here, have actually got to go on those mission trips with me, from here in Texas to Illinois to Kentucky. Before I come here, we had been to New Mexico. So it was just tons and tons of mission trips we were able to go on with boys, working in camps and building things and working in trails and splitting wood and just having all kinds of fun. And then also, you know, my very first mission trip I went on was to Indian reservations in New Mexico. So I've been to 3 Native American reservations, 2 Navajo and 1 Apache. And that was, my very first was to a Navajo. Now, I was pretty young. I played more than I worked that week, but I did work some. But that was a very unique opportunity, because seriously, it is as if, for the Navajo ones that we went to, it was as if you walked into a third world country here in the United States. And it is very, it's very sad, and the love of Jesus is needed there greatly. And so I was blessed to be able to go on trips there. I've been to 2, I think it's at least 2, inner city mission trips to Corpus Christi. And so got to do some really great things there. It was just an amazing time. And then the Lord has blessed me with 8 foreign mission trips. I've been able to go to Guatemala, Malawi, Africa, and to Juarez, Mexico. Now, I'm telling you all this because I want you to understand that missions is very, very important to me, because God has put that desire in my heart. And I'll be honest with you, 5 years ago, believe it or not, 5 years ago, when I come here, I started seminary. And praise the Lord, I graduated. Praise the Lord. But I'll be honest with you, I really felt as soon as I moved up here that God was preparing me to go into the International Mission Board, to be a missionary full-time. And as I've been studying, as I've been here, I've come to realize that love for missions was not for me to go permanently and serve as a missionary somewhere, but to help others understand the importance of missions and how we can be involved in missions here in the church. And so I've been blessed to go to many different trips, and from Bear Creek sending me on some of those trips, it's been a wonderful experience for me. You know, and all of these different places I've been, you know, and most recently, we went to Guatemala last year. And to be honest with you, yesterday we were supposed to be coming back from our mission trip this year to Guatemala. So I've had lots of emotions this past week as I've looked at photos. It kind of shows up on your time hop or your Facebook memories or however you see previous year pictures. And so I've been kind of, you know, longing to go back. And the good Lord willing, we'll go next summer. But every single trip I have, there's always something that's just very special that happens. You know, we have great times, we have sad times, we have amazing God times, and we have just times that just takes our breath away. And it's been that case with every single mission trip that I've ever been on. And if I could sum up all of those mission trips into one video that just brings so much joy to my soul, it is this video that we're about to see here. So what that was is that is in Malawi, Africa. And I'm going to speak a lot about Malawi tonight or this morning. But what was happening, I noticed that every time I took a picture or a video, the kids would go crazy because they wanted to see themselves. And so I was actually trying to hide the camera. And there's that luggage rack that was on top of the vehicle. And so I put the camera up, and the camera was being hidden mostly by that luggage rack. And I was just wanting to video what it was like as we were setting up for the Jesus film. And then someone caught, they saw the camera, and then it just all took over. But it brought me so much joy. I laughed so hard. I had to literally turn the camera off because they were just getting louder and louder and bouncing around and jumping everywhere. But it was such a special moment for me. It just brought me so much joy. And every time that I see that video, it immediately takes me right back to me being there. And I don't know about you. Do you have places in your life that you have gone that you long to go back to? It's like you vividly can place yourself in that moment, and you're like, I just really want to return there. And I'll be honest with you, Malawi, Africa's mine. I'm praying that the Lord would send me back in his time, not mine, because trust me, I would leave tomorrow if I could. But I don't want to go without him sending me. But I love that video and what it means to me. So we have two questions I want us to look at this morning. And these two questions are, why should we be mission-minded? And what is our role in missions, both domestic and foreign? So as we go through all of this morning, I want you to really think about those two questions. The first question, I'm going to directly answer for you here in a little bit. But the second question is one you're going to have to ask yourself, and how you specifically are involved in missions in whatever shape, form, or fashion that is. So let's go to Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10, and we're going to kind of dissect that here in just a second. It says, after this now this is John speaking, the apostle, the one that he refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. This is John speaking. He said he's have a vision of the things that are in heaven in the future. It says, after this I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, I like to put myself in situations. Can you just imagine whatever you can in your mind what that moment's going to be like for those who have placed their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and made him your Lord and Savior, that we will be part of what John witnessed there in this vision. We will be standing there in front of the throne with white robes on, with all different tribes, all different nations, speaking different languages, all rejoicing at our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you just imagine what that's going to be like? I mean, just imagine the best thing you've ever done in your life, and it's nowhere even comparison to what that is. I just love that set of verses as it's something we look forward to. And I pray that if you have not made that profession of faith and asked for Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that today's the day you do that. I know Pastor Scott would love to speak with you after the sermon. I would love to speak with you after this sermon. And there are many other people in this church that would love to speak with you. Because we want all of us, all of our church, here in person and online, to be able to stand beside each other at this moment as we rejoice and praise God for what all he has done for us. Won't that be a beautiful moment? So I want to kind of break down these scriptures. In particular, verse 9, we're going to look at verse 10 also, but in particular, verse 9. It says, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. I want you to just imagine that picture of how that looks. You know, I spoke about several different mission trips that I've been on. You know, and I'm so thankful for all the different ethnic groups that I've been able to witness and to learn something about their culture. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, from the boys' mission trips to speaking to camp directors and staff at camps who aren't very supported by their local association and their board's not really there to help them like they should. For us to be able to come in to speak Jesus into them and encourage them, what a beautiful moment that is. From the Navajo and Apache reservations that I went to go and to hear their native language as they speak and as they worship God. What a beautiful time. To work with the Hispanics in inner city Corpus Christi and just to witness the power of God in those situations and how, you know, God is working in those churches' lives. You know, I can remember in particular in Corpus, there was one year that I went and we were kind of working with local churches. Well, we were working with local churches and they had kind of went through and pick certain homes that were target homes for us to minister to with hopes of encouraging them to attend church. And so my crew, we were the mowing crew, the mowing, weed eating. For some reason, most mission trips, I'm stuck with doing things I don't like. And I guess God's trying to teach me. I don't know. If it's not mowing, it's painting. And trust me, you don't want me to paint your house. I can just walk in a room, not even have a paintbrush, and I get paint on me. I don't know how it happens. But anyway, so ours was the lawnmower crew. So we had certain homes that we were going to mow for them and weed eat. And I can remember one of the youth. This was years ago. So before I was able to come here. But we were walking past the house that was not on our list of homes that we're supposed to mow. And I can remember one of my youth looking at me and saying, "Why don't we mow that home?" And he said, "It needs to be mowed." And I said, "Well, that's a really good question." I said, "Why don't we knock on the door and see if we can mow it for them?" And we knocked on that door, and nobody ever answered. I said, "Well, let's mow it anyway." And so I can only imagine when they got home, their yard was mowed, how that felt. But, you know, it was a good, you know, when he spoke to me about that, it really opened my eyes because I was looking for the next place to go and missing opportunities around me. And he saw something that needed to be done. And that's part of mission trips. Sometimes we get on so focused on one particular thing that we miss things that are going on around us that God's trying to show us. But anyway, from working with the Hispanics in Mexico and then working with the Mexicans in Juarez, Mexico, is just a beautiful, beautiful time to sit there or to stand there and sing songs as I'm singing in English, because trust me, you do not want me speaking Spanish at all. For those who went with me to Mexico, you know I do not speak Spanish. I just simply repeat what you say to me, so it doesn't go off very well. But you can hear as they're singing songs in Spanish, and we're singing songs in English, and how they blend together. It's just a beautiful moment. And then in Guatemala, I've been there a few times, and last year when we were there worshiping alongside of them, and especially in the girls' home and the school, just hearing the words as they're being sung along with us, it's beautiful. And then Malawi, Africa, there's just a whole different side of music and song and praise there. But to hear how we can worship together the same God in a different language, and yet sometimes we can still understand what the other's saying, it's because we're worshiping God. So I want you to imagine this as a multitude of people have come together, and we're all standing before the throne, and we're worshiping the one true King. There's one common thread that I have through all the mission trips that I've had, no matter what type of mission trip, or who it was with, the one common thread is that we all need Jesus. Every one of us. And I have had the privilege of witnessing God moments in places that are just amazing to me. And to see the power of God. And to see the Holy Spirit move freely. If you've not seen the Holy Spirit move freely, I pray that that comes to you very soon. Because it is life-changing. The trip last year to Guatemala, I am confident that everyone that went on that trip come back changed in some way, because it was such a beautiful moment of praising God, working with God, and feeling the Holy Spirit move. I'm so upset sometimes with the way we as a nation in the United States here worship God, because sometimes I really think we see worshiping God and Jesus as a side benefit, not as the true goal of life, and who we are truly seeking after, who we are truly supposed to be worshiping and modeling our life after. And sometimes when I go to these other places, I'm reminded of just how much salvation really means. Because I've been to places that they don't just see salvation as a way to spend eternity with God, but truly a salvation for everything that is about them, for everything in their life. Because they need Jesus in all aspects of their life, which we all do, but it seems to be more evident in those places. And so I pray desperately for our nation that we would look to Jesus, that we would see how badly we need him. And it's not something that we have on the side, you know, it's not just something we do on the side, that he is the focus of everything about us in everything that we do. But I cannot wait to see that moment when we're standing before the throne. It says, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. I love that picture because it talks about all these different ethnic groups and languages and people, but we're all uniform in the same thing that we wear. I don't know about you, but You just turn the news on today and you can see that we are not very unified in all different portions of our life. You know, from the virus to racial tension to political views, everything seems to be divided. And we so need to be unified, especially us as followers of Christ, us as the church. We need to be unified. And I love this picture of unity here, where we're all clothed in white robes. And those white robes, as they signify the redeemed, as they signifies the purity and also a victory that Jesus has. And it says that with palm branches in their hands. Now, this reminds me of when Jesus comes in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem right before he is put on the cross, and have everyone wave the palm trees. So we'll have palm trees. We'll be waving, praising our Savior. And they cried out in a loud voice. Just can you imagine hearing everyone cry out at once? You know, just here a while ago, I do this often, and this morning I did it again, is where I just kind of close my eyes and just listen to everyone. And here, as we're all singing praises to Jesus, it's just a beautiful moment. You know, I highly encourage you to do that, to try that every now and then. Don't do it all the time, but Pastor Mike wants you to sing, and so do I. But ever so often, pause for just a second and just listen to the people as they sing praises to God. Listen to those who are leading us to the throne. What a beautiful moment that will be. And as we cry out together, we'll say what verse 10 says. It says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This will be our confession. What a beautiful moment that will be. You know, there are a few things that we can see that is fulfilled by this moment in Scripture. And when this actually occurs in our future, it's going to fulfill a few things. And the first one is, it will fulfill Genesis 15:5. And it says, and he, this is the Lord, brought him, Abram, this is before he was renamed as Abraham, outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Can you imagine, when you walk outside and you see how many stars are there? There more offspring from Abram, which is the followers of Jesus Christ, our chosen people that is going to be spending eternity with God, is more than the numbers of stars in the sky. Now, there's something I do on every single mission trip. Every mission trip, I don't know that I've ever mentioned this before, but every single mission trip that I go on, I love to go outside and just look at the stars, because it is different in different places. And when I say that, you see more stars in certain places than you do others. You walk outside in Benbrook, you're going to see some stars, but you're not going to see that very many. But you come to Crescent, you're going to see more than what you do in Benbrook. I've seen, in New Mexico, I can remember doing this, even when I was just a small boy, looking up and seeing so many stars. It's just beautiful. In Guatemala, in Mexico, just looking and seeing how many stars there are. But my absolute favorite was when I was in Malawi, Africa, and we would do the Jesus films. So we would go out into the bush, and there's no electricity. There's no running water. And so there's not any lights other than, torches, the flashlights they have, and fire. And we would set the Jesus film up, and the projector was run off a generator. You had the screen that was up there. And the sky is just, I cannot describe to you what the sky looks like. I've never seen the Milky Way so clearly as I ever have when I was in Africa. And so whenever I hear that set of scriptures, it immediately takes me back to those places where I have seen so many stars. And to know that the offspring is going to be more than the stars, that we can't even number them, it's going to be more than that. What a beautiful sight it will be. Also, Genesis 32:12. This is Jacob. He said, but you to the Lord, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the seas, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So again, how many of you been to the beach? Can you imagine counting the sand? I mean, that would take forever and pretty much impossible. But I've stood on the beaches in Corpus Christi whenever we got done working for that day, to the beaches in Lake Malawi, standing there and just look at the sand. I cannot imagine what this moment is going to be like when we are all standing before the throne worshiping Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the multitude of people that's going to be there? Can you imagine what that song is going to sound like? Just to hear us all singing together, to sing so beautiful. You know, my wife sings all the time, and I truly mean this. I live in a Disney musical. She sings beautifully, and it makes me feel better to hear her sing. I cannot imagine how it's going to be when we're in heaven. I know music means a lot to a lot of people in this room, and singing songs means so much to you. Just try to wrap your mind around how this moment's going to be and how for eternity it will be that way. The last set of scriptures that is fulfilled as this moment happens is Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And it says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Now, this is the Great Commission, and I've chosen a specific picture here, which you can kind of see. We're having some projector issues. But this particular church, is the reason I have that on here is because I preach those set of scriptures in Malawi, Africa. And if you can see it, there's actually a star at the bottom of Africa. That's where Malawi's at. But this church, in the right top picture, you see the outside of the building. You see those mats. That is actually the mats that they would take in, lay on the floors, and that's where the people would sit during the sermon. You see the bottom left, that's the inside of the church. So whenever I was able to go and preach there, they brought in some benches for us to sit on, but everyone else was sitting on the ground. But I preached this message, and I'm going to be honest with you, I was extremely nervous, and it was a very quick message, very, very quick. In Africa, there's no time, so you know I finished a whole lot quicker than what they were expecting. But I was able to preach in that church, and I preached on these scriptures. And when we were done, Brother Urgent, that was the pastor of this church, and I'm going to show you a picture of him in a second. I got done with it. I wasn't really sure why God had me preach this particular message on me being in Malawi. And he looked at me. He said, "Thank you so much for bringing those words today." He said, "Because so many people here in Malawi think that it's not their responsibility to share who Jesus is to others. They think it is the responsibility of only the pastors." He said, "So I'm very thankful for you bringing this message so that they heard from someone else besides me that they have a responsibility to share who God is. So now I want to share with you. You have a responsibility to share who Jesus Christ is to other people. It is not just certain people in our church that has that responsibility. It's every single one of us who has placed our faith and trust in him and allowed him to be our Lord and Savior. We have a responsibility to make disciples, to share who Jesus Christ is to others, to bring them to Jesus so we can gather with them at that moment in front of that throne and all sing together." Now, I said I spoke a very small sermon there, and that's the truth. That was the first year I went. The next year we went, and one of my favorite things that I get to do on those trips was to have a pastor's conference, and we actually brought all kinds of pastors in, and we were able to share a message with them to encourage them, because Brother Urgent had, I believe at this time, like 5 different churches, and he oversaw like 50, and so he stretched thin. And so to just be able to pour into them and to encourage them and share, let them have an opportunity to just kind of sit back and to hear from from God. Well, so the second year when I went, we were told to kind of keep our time limit to 30 minutes. And so I get up there. Now, it's going through a translator. I'd speak, then the translator would speak. And so it's going to take a little longer than that. So I go through my whole sermon, and I step down, and Randall, our team leads there, I said, "How to do on time?" He said, "You did great. 55 minutes." So we're going to be here a while. No, I'm just playing. But I loved preaching that set of scriptures in that church, and I found out afterwards that I was the very first white man to ever preach in that church. It was a beautiful moment of me getting to witness God and see the Holy Spirit move through the people. So I asked a question at the beginning, and I want us to directly get that answer. So why should we be mission-minded? This is approximate numbers. In 2020, there's 7.8 billion people in the world. That's a lot of people. Approximately 3.13 billion individuals have no access to the gospel. Let that sink in. There's 6,204 unreached people groups across the world. Now, when I say no access to the gospel, it means they don't know who Jesus is and most likely will not hear of the name Jesus. That's hard to sink and to allow into my soul to know that there is that many people right now that don't have access to Jesus. Now, there are things that are changing this slightly. The internet is one really amazing tool, if used properly, that allows for messages to be heard around the world. For instance, right now we're live streaming this message. And so my friends who are 7 hours ahead of me in Malawi, they could actually watch the message that we're having right now. You can actually go to third world countries and they have better cell service than me. So, access to the gospel is coming, but there's still this many people that has no access to it at all. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, how then will they call on him who in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We have the beautiful opportunity to share who Jesus is. Now you maybe say, evangelism is not my spiritual gift. And that could be very possible, but it doesn't excuse us from sharing Jesus. It may make it a little bit more difficult, but I'm going to share a tool with you at the end that can help you. Okay? And so I want y'all to bear with me until we get to that point. But it is so important for us to understand the need for Jesus to be spread. We take advantage of where we live. There are people groups here in the United States that don't have Jesus, and there's not people going to see them. But we take advantage of that, and we take for granted that we have have the freedom to worship, and we forget that outside this church wall, there are lots of people who need to hear who Jesus is. And we shouldn't, as a church, simply wait for them to come to us. We have to be looking for opportunities to speak to them out in their circle of life where they are. So we can see there, why we need to be mission-minded. And I'm so excited about Bear Creek. I'm so excited about the opportunities that we have here. And this past year, for this year's budget, we actually passed an opportunity for us to share quarterly different opportunities to help missions out. And so for 2020, this year, Bear Creek quarterly, thank you, missions, if you can go to the next slide there, here's how we've broken it up. The first quarter, we split it between Far Corners and the Pregnancy Center. Now, Far Corners, we had Brian Shoke come and speak here a while back about his missions to India. And I love his missions to India because that is a place that desperately needs to hear Jesus. And for us, our church, to be involved with that is amazing. I've got a slide here next. I'm going to talk some more about that. But for the second quarter, all that funds went to Malawi. And we're talking about $630 that went to Malawi. And, of course, we halved that in the first quarter. For the third quarter, that's all going to go to Guatemala. And I'm praying about how to divvy that up amongst the many ministries that we worked with last year. In the last quarter, most likely we'll go to Far Corners again. And so if we'll go to the next slide, I'm going to explain to you why Far Corners is such an important thing to me. And I'm actually, Lord willing, going to go to India in January with Far Corners so I can better understand the ministry of what they're doing there and how we as a church can help. But Far Corners, they target India for a reason, okay? So of the 3.13 billion individuals that have no access to the gospel and the 6,204 unreached people groups across the world, we have what's called the 1040 window. That's latitude and longitude. And you can see that's what's highlighted in blue on that slide, which is more looks like black back here. But that's the 1040 window. For India, of that 3.13 million, a billion, 1.3 billion people live in India, and 9 out of 10 do not have access to Jesus. They is unreached groups is what's considered. And so for our church here in Crescent, Texas, to be contributing to a ministry that is in the middle of one of the most needed areas for the gospel to be presented, I think is an amazing thing. I think God is doing some powerful things through that ministry, and I'm so excited for us to partner with them. For us to be able to impact that particular section of the world because it desperately needs Jesus Christ is just beautiful to me. And so that's why the Lord has been leading us to partner with them. And I look forward to seeing how in the future we can do other things than just financial. Obviously, we definitely need to be praying for this ministry for India. What I love about that, and I highly encourage you to go look at their website. This is a local ministry. It's in Lake Worth, correct, Scott? Yeah. And so we're supporting a local ministry here that is going over there. But they deal with human trafficking, with widows, with orphans. And then they highly encourage pastors in giving them resources and the education that they need to be able to minister to their people. So there's some great points that ministry offers. So what I want to do is I want to report to you what the second quarter of the funds went to, and that was to Malawi. So my friend of mine, Brother Urgent, had posted about 2 weeks ago, that the coronavirus had hit Malawi pretty bad. And this is a very, very, very poor nation. And I can remember when they first went in there and they did a two-week quarantine. I had several of my friends that were saying, "You're telling me that I cannot go anywhere for 2 weeks so that I don't die from the virus, but instead you're telling me to stay home and I'll die of starvation." So they don't just work from paycheck to paycheck like a lot of us do. They work day for today. If they don't work today, they don't eat today. And so to tell them that they can't do that makes it very difficult. And so now they're in the portion of the mask and how they need masks because they cannot go into businesses. Very similar to what we're doing here. And so I really prayed about it, and the Lord was really speaking to me. And so all the funds went to three different people in Malawi. And so I split that money up, and they're buying masks for their church members and to pass out to their community. And the goal behind this is, especially for those that pass out to the community, is to be an encouragement for them to come to their church so they can hear the gospel. And so what you see here, this is actually, Fedson. Fedson actually has been in this church. Shortly after we came here, Fedson actually was over visiting, and we got to bring him here, and Pastor Scott got to meet him. It was an awesome time, so he's actually been in this building. But I sent him some money, and he was able to buy 270 masks to pass out. To kind of put this in perspective for you, one mask cost 500 kwacha, and that is roughly about 67 cents. And so he was able to purchase 270 masks. He immediately took out 100 and passed them out right there to the community. And then the other 170 he's waiting until today to pass out to his church. Any leftovers he has, he's going to pass out to the community. But you can see some pictures here, and we'll put these on Facebook also so you can see a little bit better. But you can see different people here and the masks that they have. And you can see what he says here. He says, some brethren can't go inside the church and stays outside just because they don't have face masks. People are so happy and so thankful for the wonderful help you guys have done. So this is from Fedson, and he's going to send me more pictures today and hopefully some videos. So we go to the next one. Brother Mark Funson, we've actually helped before. The youth have. We've actually sent Thompson, one of his sons, to school for, I think we covered three semesters. It was at least two, I know, which is a very big thing for them because when they go to their schools like this, they get health care. It's included in that. And so we were able to help send Thompson to school for a little bit. Anyway, so Brother Mark, he was able to buy, I think it's 300 masks. Yes, 300 masks. And those pictures are from today. So I got that like an hour and a half before this service started. He has passed out those masks to his church members. He says, "I hope that God is keeping you well. My church is thanking you and your church for the provision of funds which enabled our church to have face masks. Let me say that there are some church members cannot afford to purchase one mask, but with your help today, they have it. And to God be all the glory and honor. Would you please say thank you words to your church?" He is so excited. And what he did is he passed out masks this morning. He was trying his best to send a video that I could show you and you could hear from his own words. And when I get that, some way we'll get that to you. But the leftover mask he is taking to a sister church tonight, which is probably where he's at right now, and they're going to be passing out masks to that church as well. And then the leftovers will go to the community. So it's just a beautiful moment of how we are contributing. God is using us to touch the lives of the people there. And go to the last slide. Brother Urgent, he is passing them out today. I have not received the photos from him. But what he says, I just love the way he words things. He says, "I am very thankful indeed for the timely assistance to us, and God bless you richly indeed for your generous hearts towards our need. With this, be assured that you have saved the lives of many, as many will now be protected from getting and spreading the virus." Brother Urgent is a very, very dear friend of mine. And all 3 years that I was able to go there, I at least worked with him portions of each of those weeks. He is a He is one of the men that helped inspire me to go back to school because he's just amazing. He is so willing to allow God to use him. And he was so thankful for the funds that we sent there for him to buy masks and hand sanitizer and stuff like that for his church and for him to pour that into the community. It is such an amazing thing for us to know that we have, because of this funds that we approved in the budget, to be able to impact someone clear across the world when we are stuck at home because of the virus. But the funds that went to these men goes further than just that. If you go to the next slide, I want to introduce you to two of the tailors that are making the masks for Fedson and for Brother Mark. So not only have we blessed the people, God's blessed the people with masks, but also these two tailors now just got a really big order. And they are so excited and so thankful for having that to make, but also that we love them enough that we want to help them. And so they are so thankful, not just for the work, but that someone is thinking of them and praying for them and loving them. So I highly encourage you to continue praying for our sister churches there in Malawi and how we can in the future help them even more. That's what we're called to do, is to help each other, to encourage each other. I mean, how many times did Paul check back on the churches after he left them? And how he encouraged them. And for us to be able to do that for other churches is just a blessing. And we need to be so thankful the Lord's allowing us to do that. So let's go back to the two questions that I ask at the beginning of the service. It says, why should we be mission-minded? And I hope that through seeing the numbers of people who need to hear who Jesus is, that we know that's why we need to be mission-minded. And then the second question is, what is our role in missions, both domestic and foreign? So this can be taken as a church. How are we as a church going to be mission-minded? But it also needs to go down to individuals. And how are we as individuals going to be mission-minded? There are some people that are called to go. There are some people who are not called to go. And that's fine. But we all need to be praying for our brothers and sisters and for those who need to know who Jesus is. So maybe the Lord, for instance, next year we're planning another trip to Guatemala. And maybe you are feeling the urge now that you're supposed to go. If that's the case, please come talk to me so we can get this ball rolling. Well, maybe you're saying, you know what, I'm not called to go, but I can give. And you can give towards the individual quarterly missions or towards a mission trip. That's fine. But I also want you to not just use that as a cop-out and say, okay, I'll just give and I won't go. Okay? Pray for God to give you that answer. Don't make that answer for him. Don't answer that question yourself. Let God answer that question. But we all of us can be praying. So at least the first part is the prayer. Every one of us can pray. Then pray about giving or praying about going. So I mentioned earlier that there is going to be one tool that I can offer you if you are not comfortable with sharing the gospel. Some people have it down pat. They can do it in a heartbeat, no issues. Some struggle, and that's fine. So there's actually a free app called God Tools, and it's free on Android and on iPhone. If you've not used this before, it is an amazing app. And so far, I've not found anything on there that causes any concern for me as far as what's being said. If you happen to do that, please let me know, but I've not found it. But what's cool about this app is that you can actually have it to where if you're speaking to someone that is not your language, you can actually still communicate with them through the app, because you can actually have the English and, say, Spanish or Chinese or Korean or whatever that you want beside it. So you can still speak to someone about Jesus. And so I highly encourage you to download that app and have that as a tool in case you come to a situation where you're not real sure what you're supposed to say or how you're supposed to say it. This app can help guide you. If nothing else, you can go through the app and it can help teach you to where you don't need the app. But I want to provide you a way to be able to share the gospel if you are a little uncomfortable with sharing it. And so I just want to provide that for you. So in closing, I want us to remember that we need to be mission-minded, both individually and as a church, and be praying for those around the world who desperately need to know who Jesus Christ is. Let me pray, and we'll turn it over to Pastor Scott. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunities we have here at Bear Creek to be able to impact the lives of people clear across the other side of the world. Father, you have blessed us, Lord, and we want to take that blessing and offer it to someone else. Lord, we just thank you for those opportunities. And pray for those that are passing out masks probably right now in Malawi. Father, pray that, you know, if out of all these masks that are given, if one person comes to know who you are personally, Lord, it is all worth it. And so, Father, we just thank you for the opportunities we have to serve you. We do pray for the pastors there as they are desperately seeking you and pouring their hearts out to the people there in Malawi. Father, we also want to pray for the other mission opportunities we have here at Bear Creek, Lord. May we not walk past something that needs to be done, but we stop and we have that God moment with you, and we get to work alongside you. Father, just thank you for Bear Creek. Thank you for all that we are able to do for you and with you. In your name we pray. Amen.